All right, so here we are live on BBS Radio Online. Thank you for those who are listening online to the show. And we still have the phone lines open. More people just joined in on the conference call, and I welcome those people. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Marilyn, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is Mike and Mary in Nebraska.
Hello, Mike and Mary. Thank you for being here. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing okay. Thank you. It's a beautiful day out, isn't it?
Yes, we... Beautiful as well, but that's great to hear it's beautiful on your end.
Yeah. Well, we finally got some good rain last week.
It has started here, too. I'm in Northern California. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good morning, Heiss. It's Jim from Sedona.
Hello, Jim. Good morning. How are you doing?
I am feeling so well, I am riding a carousel.
All right. Keep on spinning, man.
And how, right. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
And I welcome the next person here. Please say your name and location.
This is Adam from Kingsport, Tennessee, and I'm winning the battle.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning, Joel in Chicago.
Hello, Joel. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing well. Hi, everybody.
Right. More people have joined. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Bradshaw. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call.
How are you doing?
Hello, hi. It's Francis from Fonte, California.
Good morning, Francis. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good morning. Hi.
Hello, Terry. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here. And then welcome the next person. Please say your name and location.
This is Carla from Kentucky.
Good morning, Carla. Thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing just fine. Hello, everybody. I love you all.
Hi, Carla and Terry.
Good morning, Hello, Carla.
Good morning, Carla and Terry. Nice to have you.
Good morning.
Isn't love wonderful? You can't just stop saying it once you start.
Yeah.
How's the cream working out, Carla?
Doing good. Using it daily.
Welcome those people who just came in. Please say your name and location.
This is Carolyn, and I'm in Sacramento.
Hi, Carolyn.
It's always good to be here.
All right.
I'm quite ill. I have pneumonia again.
Welcome those who just came in here on the phone line. Please say your name and location.
Hi, everybody. It's Vaughn from North Hollywood.
Morning, Vaughn. How are you?
I'm good. Hi. Good to hear
All
you.
All right. Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good morning, it's Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Good morning.
Hi, Wynn.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is Terry here?
Terry is here.
Hi, good morning. And so is Carla. Carla's here.
Is Carla here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Sire. How are you?
I am fine.
Oh!
That's why you hate that. I'm sorry. I should not have...
Wait, you should have reached that.
Sorry about
I deferred and I answered, okay?
Yes, and I appreciate that. You were very, very kind to me.
Well,
I should beat myself silly with cooked spaghetti.
The only reason I answered is because you called me sire.
Well, you are kingly after all.
What does sire mean?
It's an address used when speaking of a royal personage.
I see.
God knows in various of your incarnations you've been very royal.
And does that work for men and women?
No. You say mom for a woman.
Well, Go ahead, Hayes. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, that's okay. We had a few more calls come in here still. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Who is this from Delaware?
Susan.
Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan here. Hi, hi.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon, Nancy. Thank you for being here. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you.
All right. And let's see. It's 10:03. I'm going to turn the...
Well, we will start. Okay.
And I want a quick mention that we are live on BBS Radio. Thank you to all those who are listening on BBS. And we are here with Dwayne, Lucy, Matt, Mary, Gary, Carla, Dave, Jim, Jeffrey, Marilyn, BBS, Mike, Joel, Don, Francis, Terry, Carla, Kellen, Fawn, Wynn, Susan, Nancy, myself, and those who stayed silent in the background. Thank you for being here. Wynn, the mic to you.
You remind me of... Carla, do you remember that song years ago called The Name Game?
Yeah.
That's what I just reminded.
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh. Right. All right. Okay, let me start our recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everybody. This is September 21st, 2013. This is our Sunday. We call it a grid healing. And... again,
it's the 22nd.
Another,
it's the 22nd? September 22nd.
It is?
Yes.
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Why does my computer have the wrong date?
It slowed down.
Computer schizo.
Oh. It lost time.
If I was a stubborn king, I would say, this is September 21st, and I decree it. Let me see.
Well, by the
okay,
way, Wynn, we one of our callers, I did not catch the name, is somewhat ill with pneumonia, so we need to take just a second and everybody send a little love that way.
Okay, bring it up when we get to the healing part of the call.
All righty.
Okay, when we bring the energies in. And I was going to play another song, and let me see if it uploaded. It supposedly did. Hang on a second. Just a moment. There it is, yeah. When I was in Philadelphia growing up, and I remember distinctly feeling, what am I doing here? Nobody understands me. And I used to go our Thanksgiving dinners, and all the relatives would come over. And I would have to fold my hands and just bite my tongue and wait till it was over. And everyone would then go to the living room and hang out. And I was just being good. I felt really out of it. I don't know if maybe some of you felt that way. Maybe some of you felt connected, but I didn't. And at one point, I started listening to Bob Dylan. And one of the reasons I love Bob Dylan so much, at least the early Bob Dylan, is that he was talking to the part of me that felt disconnected. It's like somehow he was embracing the thoughts unspoken, and obviously he did it for many people, aside from me. It's why he got so successful, that that, and his lyrics were crafted so well that when I look back at it from the perspective of right now, I have to say I think he was channeling. I think he was tapping in. And even he, in the interview, he said, I can't write songs like that anymore. And when he first started writing songs, he was unencumbered. He wasn't thinking about success, or if he was, it was not, his ambitions were not apparent in his music. And I think that as he got older and as he, you know, had a career, he probably got more drawn into having other influences in his mind when he was writing songs, because his songs don't have the quality of more recent times, I don't believe, as they did when he was younger. Things like Blowing in the Wind, I don't know if you remember that. Was Bob Dylan an influence on you, Carla?
Surely. By the time he came along, I was already very well set in my ways as far as being a folk music person, but when I was singing in coffee houses, you had to cover his song because that's
mm-hmm.
all people asked for.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the song, I Shall Be Released?
Oh, yeah. That was a wonderful song. Now, I thought of that as more the band.
That was the band, but it was a Bob Dylan song.
I'll be doggone. I did not know that.
Yeah. And, you know, looking back at that song from today's mm-hmm. vantage point, it's almost as if, I won't even say almost, it's on some intuitive level, he was understanding the idea of graduation from this realm, because the song is very much, from my ears, a very spiritual song. And when I was young, I remember it was one of the songs, one of the band songs, that I played over and over and over again. And even though I didn't completely understand the lyrics, I don't know if anyone understood the lyrics in terms of graduation, the idea of graduation, but the idea of moving from this realm to another realm so that you didn't have to keep repeating all the travesties of 3D. So I'm going to play that song. If you've never heard it, listen to the lyrics on this.
So I remember everything.
Now, Carla, did those lyrics impact you when you were younger, as much as they do now?
They were gorgeous. I thought they were beautiful. I can't say that they impacted me differently then than they did now, because I always thought they were beautiful. And believe it or not, when I was 19, I was already working with the ET communication group. So, you know, I was already weird.
You were, I see.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, yeah, no, it didn't change for me. I've been set in my ways a long time.
I'm just curious. I think I'll open the mics for a second. And is there anyone listening that was influenced by Bob Dylan tremendously when they were younger? I just thought I'd see if anyone wants to share. Yeah. Okay.
I love Bob Dylan.
Who is that?
Carolyn in Medicine Hat.
Carolyn, you didn't send me your address. You know.
Are you talking to me?
Carolyn in Medicine. You know what? I better mute everybody. If anyone wants to share, they have to do star six. Carolyn, send me your address, because I was going to send you some thumb cards, and I didn't have your address easily accessible. Okay. But, you know, you can look that song up. It's called I Shall Be Released. I'm sure the lyrics are up there. And amazing lyrics. And I suppose if one was a Christian or Christ-oriented, I think the lyrics would probably have connected easier when you were younger, because although it's not a Christian song, it is a Christian song. What am I saying? I'm saying that, you know, it relates to the idea of graduation. And, you know, before the call today, I was thinking that in the context of our sessions, this is particularly, you know, there's little things that have grabbed me. There's things that have grabbed me in Carla's sessions, and there's things that have grabbed me in our sessions. Things that were not so obvious, and that I kept thinking about the meaning of. I think I'm addressing this because I had an interesting email from someone in our group, someone who listens to our calls. And in the course of these calls, we have come up with the most extraordinary understanding of how things work and how the universe works. And it goes to a certain point, and it feels like, geez, could there be anything more? And then suddenly, there's a whole new breakthrough. That whole gold mining thing in South Africa suddenly adds a whole other dimension to the big picture. And I recognize that for me, and maybe for some of you might identify with this, as we learn the real history of how things work, many of us have been there, have done that, and it triggers cellular memories of some sort that suddenly, for me, it helps me understand myself and understand certain patterns that I have that otherwise were inexplicable. Because all of us became who we are right now because of all the experiences we've gone through in the past. And, you know, aside from this lifetime, and some of us can't even remember what happened to us this lifetime. We've had numerous lifetimes previously where all these things happened, and it's kind of like your soul is a giant computer. It just remembers everything and takes it all in, and then when it comes back and has another body, it is accessing all of those things in the past. So if you have talents, it's because you had them in the past. For example, I happen to have been a songwriter, and I remember I had a reading. This was an epic event for me. I had a reading from someone. They told me I was duplicating all these patterns as a troubadour 1,000 years ago in England. And they told me the whole story of what happened to that troubadour. And this was about 35 years ago at least. And I wouldn't say that I believed in reincarnation at that point. I was certainly open to it. I had read Edgar Casey. But he told me the story of being a troubadour. And after he told me the story, I realized I had written a song years before that told the story of this troubadour, but I thought it was from my imagination. And it was so precisely aligned with the story that he told me that I said, reincarnation has to be real. That was my first real direct cognition experience of remembering a past life, which actually I didn't even know I was remembering it. It just came out as a stream of consciousness song. So, and the patterns of that life, the people who were in that troubadour life, which was my father, my girlfriend at the time, they all fit the profile precisely of the story he told me. And I started to begin this assimilation of how it works, how these energies that we've created over the past exist today just as well as they did at the time we experienced them. And we're all carrying this load of stuff, but we don't know it. We don't know where it comes from. And it's just confusing. Why am I here? Who am I? Why do I have this pattern? Why do I have this hang up? And it's all connected with our entire track. Well, when many of us, or some of us, I don't know how many, but some of us have really old tracks. We've gone back to the origination of humans on Earth. We go back to Maldek. We have lives on other planets, in other cultures, planetary cultures. We may go back even further than that. We're really old souls. And yet, every time we come into a body, it's like amnesia, no memory. But when you hear the story, when you hear the story of somewhere where you existed, then it triggers things. You know, when you have a fascination in history for a certain period of time, like if you're interested in Egypt, then there's a good chance you had a lifetime in Egypt. For some of you, you were around during the life of Jesus. For some of you, you were around during the Revolutionary War. And when you have an interest in history, chances are, good chance you were there. And so here we are again, bringing all of this huge track. And when we look at it from the vantage point of today, the challenge becomes, how do we live in this moment? It doesn't mean all of that track is not still there. It's there. But can you reset your timeline to above that track so that you can operate outside of the limitations, the contractions? Of course, you can take what's good out of it if you had a talent or if you had certain really great qualities. You can learn to draw on them and on the other hand, the things that are in your way, that are in your face, how do you operate without them still being in your face? Well, hearing about stuff helps to reset timelines. Learning the history of everything starts to bring aha experiences. Can, I won't say will for everyone, but can. And you see how things work. And you see why this planet is in the situation it's in now. And that is one way to accelerate your own growth, to hear those things and assimilate them. That's why all the stuff in our archives is so valuable, because it does that, and Carla's archives as well. And the other thing, that this was a little thing that came through one of the sessions, I think, with Terry some time ago. I don't think I've ever mentioned it. I don't think so. But it was one of those bits of wisdom that blew my mind. It made me keep thinking about it. And it had to do with graduation of this realm. And the idea, I'm not going to quote this directly because I don't have it in front of me, but the idea is that you go to what you're connected with. And that's when you die, all the connections you have energetically, you carry with you. And where you end up next time you have an embodiment has to do with what you're connected to. And Carla says something similar, and she said that you go to the highest level of light that you're connected to in the physical. Do I have that right, Carla?
Well, you go to the highest density of light that you're comfortable with.
That you're comfortable with, right. That's it's close. It's a paraphrase. If you're comfortable with it, that means that you had experience there. And right now, all of us are connecting on this call to certain levels of light. Maybe not the same for all of us, but if you keep coming back, one of the reasons you keep coming back is because part of you recognizes that experience. And one of the things that I learned from this idea is that it is very important who you connect with, who you choose to connect with in your physical life, this lifetime. You know, there's two kinds of relationships in your life. There's the relationship of family, of blood, of work. And those are all kind of obligatory relationships. that was the foundation. Now, work necessarily has some choice in it because you can quit your job, but it's not easy to quit your family. And then there are relationships of choice. And relationships of choice are the most important. Relationships of choice is where your free will is most operative. You don't have free will with your family. I mean, you do. You can leave, but you can't change your family. You can't change your parents. You can't change... If you have a job and you need money, it's not easy to make a choice to change your job. You can, but most people don't. And they don't because it's so... For many of us, it's so hard to feel secure in this realm, and our job is what keeps us feeling secure. But what are the choices of free will? The choices of free will are the choices that are most important, because keep in mind that every person is a universe. Every person is radiating a reality that's part of the universe. I should say everyone is potentially the universe, but they're segmented in it. And so they are a transmitter of their segment. And when you choose to connect with another person, you are choosing to relate to that segment of the universe that they are radiating, for better or for worse. So if one is on a path of evolution, if one is on a path of expansion, if one is on a path of God realization, then you have to look very carefully at what you are choosing. Because if you are choosing things in your life that are radiating realities that are contracted, and certainly friends would come into this category. If you're choosing friends that are radiating contracted parts of the universe, that's what you're connecting to. And if that is your predominant choice through your life, then there's a good chance on your next life you're going to end up in that same reality of choice. So choosing people, if you can, of course, this is tricky because it has to present itself to you that you have the option for those choices. But start out with an idea. One thing is that all of you chose to show up here today. And that's a choice. That's a free will choice. There's nothing, there's no control mechanisms here that require anyone to show up. And that it's been my experience that this particular event we do on Sunday radiates a, how shall we say it, a very wide part of the universe hologram. And that by coming here, you are entraining yourself to feel that energy. And as you feel it, it starts to become part of your track. You adopt it. And because of its nature, it's not relegated just to Sunday morning. That as you expand into those larger energies and you start to integrate them and you become familiar with them, it's inevitable that you will attract things into your life that are of a more expanded nature. You'll attract people. You'll attract opportunities. And this is where many people that come into our calls regularly end up having synchronicities. Synchronicities is one of the ways the universe works to bring that to you. But when you have relationships that are of a more contracted nature, you know, it doesn't mean that you should suddenly eliminate them from your life. You may at some point want to. You have to look at, can you integrate that without it compromising you? And where it compromises you is when it's a contracted relationship, a contracted relationship that has a control pattern to it, then it will do everything it can to bring you into its control pattern, and then it's hard to get out of it. This is why what we call negative or service to self is so tricky, because it can be seductive, it can look good, and then it brings you into a control pattern. And once you're under its control pattern, you can get stuck for the rest of your life. It's kind of like when the mafia loans you money, and it looks like, wow, this is great. But once that happens, you usually, even when you pay the money back, you're still stuck in some kind of control pattern with them that it's very hard to extricate yourself from. So choices, people ask oftentimes, where's free will? Where's free will? Free will is in your choices, and your choices of who to relate to. Now, when you want to relate to someone that has a more expanded matrix, a more expanded place of holding the universe hologram, again, each person is holding a piece of the universe in their space, either more expanded or more contracted. Even the most contracted are still part of the universe. And during the course of our day, we're moving through all those people. And if you're sensitive, you pick up each of their pieces of the hologram. And at the end of the day, depending on what you went through that day, you can easily feel contracted because of all the people that you have taken in. And how do you fix that? Well, if you want to connect with people that have more expanded views of the hologram, then on some level you have to at least make yourself worthy of that. And if someone is holding a greater piece of the hologram than you are, then really they are your teacher. They're not your teacher because you're going to class. They're your teacher because they are, you know, this whole hologram sharing is very psychic. It's very osmosis. It's not what somebody says. It's not what they tell you. It is an energy transfer that as you feel and be around somebody's energy, you can take in that energy and over time assimilate it, and you learn and you start operating differently. That's really the way we learn, from that process of energetic interaction. And if you have that opportunity, then honor, you have to somehow let the other person know. This is a nonverbal thing. You have to let them know that you're getting it. And they may not even understand what I just said, all this thing, but they still may be holding that bigger piece of the hologram. And they still may be your teacher. You may learn from that. And you can even learn from the negative who are holding bigger pieces of the hologram, as long as you don't get caught in some kind of control web. And so, how do you do this? Well, I notice different patterns. Like, I think I'm holding a fairly big piece of a hologram. I think so. And I notice, you know, people are often attracted to me, and they want to talk to me. And when they start talking to me, the first thing they want to do is tell me what they think about everything and give me all their opinions. And you know what? They don't usually hold my attention. I can tell. It doesn't matter what somebody's saying. If they're holding my attention, I know we're making a connection. And if I'm just being polite and diplomatic, which I'm not very good at, but sometimes I try, then it's kind of like being in my parents' Thanksgiving dinner, where I had to be polite and diplomatic to all my relatives, but nothing was holding my attention. Nothing was interesting. And it was all formal. And think about people like that in your life. If I think about people like that in my life, now I tell people, I say, you're not holding my attention. You see, if you're going to talk, you have to find something that holds my attention, because it's a waste of my time just being polite to, you know, to satisfy your ego that wants to tell me how smart you are. And so I have to decide that for myself. I mean, but there's an automatic thing. It's not like how smart someone is and it's all about, are they holding my attention? If they're holding my attention, there's a good chance that we're connecting in other levels. And the interesting thing is, when you start making connection in higher realms, when you start making connections in co-creation, high vibrations, in other dimensions, it's really easy to keep someone's attention in this dimension, because you've already got their attention at a higher level. And even if they go da 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 da, it can be interesting. Okay, I mean, on some of these calls, I believe we're doing that. That's why we can talk about anything and go anywhere. And even if I screw up, or if Carrie screws up, or if Carla screws up. When I say screw up, I mean say something dumb or go off the track. The energy immediately comes back, because the whole call is based on a relationship that starts somewhere else, not based on the words of communication. And that allows a lot of creativity in the words. That allows a lot of that's where channeling comes from. Channeling comes from when a relationship starts way up somewhere else, and then the words come out, and they're formed out of another dimension and not out of this dimension. And of course, on the other end of everything, gossip is where things are formed in this dimension. And usually gossip is some of the worst kinds of communication, because what it is it's trying to get energy from another person by telling them things about someone else, and they're trying to keep the energy going. Did you hear Wynn did this? And did you know Wynn did that? And did you know so-and-so slept with this person? And blah, 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 blah. And you see, it attracts a lower level of hologram, of universe hologram. So if you're doing that, it's probably good to monitor yourself and stop, because you're creating a connection to lower levels. And, you know, I watch this happen. Some months back, I realize that connecting with people, really connecting with them, creates opportunity to share consciousness, for them to learn something from that connection, not from what I'm teaching them, not from what I'm doing, but from the connection of consciousness. People learn from that. They feel the energies. And it's one of the reasons I started to become aware of that principle, and I said, that's why we're going to do 3 conference calls a week, because so many people are trying to pull themselves up into a higher level of awareness and realization and whatever, and we've all been inundated by negative stuff most of our lives and past lives, not all, but a lot. And you're trying to get through those patterns, and so you need a reference point. And so these conference calls, I had the idea, I didn't know if it would work, but I had the idea that if you're going to tell people that they can graduate this realm and they need to have an open heart, if you're going to say that, you know, the first thought for a lot of people is fear, that, I'm not going to graduate. Am I graduating? And that more important than telling them that was to create an environment where the energies could come in, where the heart energies would open, and that where people could feel that energy and use it for themselves, because I can't be everyone's friend. I actually like being people's friends. You know, I like talking to people, but I don't have time. It's not a good use of my time. And the other thing I saw was when there was gossip, I'd end up talking to someone, and before you know it, they'd be telling someone else, "When you talk to me, well, I must." And then other person would get jealous, and it was a way of creating more negative flow in this realm. So it's like, where am I going? I'm going to say, I bet Carla has some experiences in this whole thing. I'm not catching her off guard, but does everything I'm saying make sense to you, Carla? Like, I know that you understand this principle, even if you never put it in those words, because I know you, to the best of your ability, make yourself really available to people, and you are really loving, and it helps people tune into their love when they connect with you, okay? Because you hold that space, that's your space of the universe that you hold.
Yeah, that's true. And and I do it very consciously, and I think that people feel that they know me and that they trust me. And I try to be just as trustworthy as the day is long, and because that's my purpose at this point in my life. I'm a reference point. I'm a direction home, and people feel that they know me, and they feel that they can relate to me, and they can read my whatever I've written or whatever I've channeled, and I don't mind that. It would bother a lot of people to be so known. It doesn't bother me at all. I want to open my heart. I want to give away. I have plenty left over. I have an endless supply, and I know that there's very little doubt that people will get it wrong, because I'm so frank and so honest, and people do know me. They know me well, and they know me right. They don't make mistakes about it. They know me for what I am, and what I am is a loving person. And just to know that there's a loving person there, to know that they do have a friend, this is something that is a safe grace for people, because what the most is that when you want the most, to someone, some companions to, and all of these things. That's one of the. You're not isolated in these. And the whole started the so that people would have a they could go, and the reason we reason all of these reasons are so can in me as coming home. Stand for it, and we stand for the people that respond to that to material that we created through the year. So, yes, I know what you're talking about, and I think that it's extremely helpful. Now, a topic for a whole other Sunday would be that there is free will involved in the relationships that are not, they don't seem to have free will, the mother, father, all of those relationships. We do set up contracts with people before we're born to be our parents, to be our children, to be our lovers and friends and mates. But that's not for this Sunday. This Sunday we're talking about making contact, making contact with, to use your language, with a bigger part of the hologram, which is available to those people. And because you know those people, then there's an osmosis that takes place. And you can be a help for helping people touch into that wider spectrum of vibration, so that if they're seeking that lift, they can get it. And that's, isn't that why we're here? We're here to help each other to do just that, to give of ourselves and to stand for each other in a loving way, so that people that we couldn't possibly know will still have access to who we are and be able to open up to the realms of spirit that we represent. I guess that's saying it as well as I can.
Very well put. You know, it's like another way of looking at the same thing, it's a different way of saying it, is that each of us is a universe transmitter all the time. Each of us is a universe transmitter, and we're transmitting a signal. Actually, it's like a repeater station, okay? The whole universe is coming into our space, but we repeat it at the level of the hologram that we have mastered, and we repeat it into the space around us. And as you get more powerful, the repeating gets stronger. And it starts to go beyond your own space and it reaches people outside of your space. Like, I realize sometimes I go into meditations and contemplations or just laying there and feeling connected. And then I start thinking about people that I know, people in our group, people that are going through things. And I just can feel them. Think of people that you care about. And suddenly, there's an energy that comes in for me. And I think I'm really connecting with them. And that I think that I'm sure this is true. I'm sure there's an energy flowing between me and the person I'm thinking about. And I do it for a bit. And I just send loving thoughts. And of course, I don't intrude on anyone's space. I wouldn't even connect if they weren't connected. And that part of us, the part of us that's connected in truth, always stays connected. It's there to be accessed. And it's a really good exercise in making a difference. It's really simple. Just lay there and you start contemplating the people you care about and send them love. And you'll know you're doing it. People ask me, how do I know if I'm graduating? How do I know this? Well, if you can do this, the chances are you're graduating, because I don't think you can send love to people and feel the connection in this realm. That's happening in the fourth dimension. Do you realize that? To be able to contemplate and just send a loving energy to people does not happen in 3D. It happens in 4D. So this is a good kind of milestone to say, geez, I can do this. I can send love to people. I can feel that. You have to feel the love. It's not emotional. It's different. You have to feel it. And if you feel it, you're in 4D. You're not in 3D, because you can't do that in 3D. 3D is power and individuality. Love is a blending of energies in the moment. And you have to be an individual in order to do 4D, because you have to come from somewhere. In other words, if you didn't develop the lower chakras and you just started blending, you get lost in the blend. You'd never come back. You just disappear. So part of the evolutionary process is to be an individual. So it's not bad to be in 3D. It's part of your growth. And I never thought of this before, but I think it's a great concept that when you can send love to somebody and feel it in the distance, not in person, okay, because in person, it might be true in person, but in person, oftentimes, it goes into more psychic, lower-level interactions of love, which are okay. There's nothing wrong with them. It's the fact that they're great. But when you cannot be with the person physically, and you can experience inside of yourself a loving connection with the person. Now, this does not mean to say, I love you, or thinking I love you. No. Watch. I think we can do it right here, and you'll get what I mean. We do it right here all the time, but I'm just putting it in different words. Let me just see if Carla has any...
I wanted to tell you, not to interrupt this flow of creation that you're going through, but I wanted to say, this is prayer. But prayer is often misunderstood, and you think you have to be doing something to be prayerful. But if you're worrying, if you're thinking, if you're focusing on somebody else in a loving way, that is a prayerful thought. That is going to, as you said, it's in 4D. And people who are so good at worrying, you know, I tell them, do you realize that you're actually praying? You're just not relaxing about it. Instead of worrying, just send the love. You know, release the concern and just send the love. But when you're focused on somebody else, not because you need to be, but because you want to be, this is a loving, prayerful connection. And it is indeed in a higher realm. And it does speak to spirit. And it's not an intrusion because of the fact that in spirit, the love goes where it's needed and where it's accepted. And if it's not accepted, then it doesn't. It wouldn't intrude. So there's nothing intrusive about it. You're just holding someone in thought.
And you can always tell if it's working because your own vibration gets lifted when you do it.
That's true.
And if it's not working, in other words, it may not work because you're doing it for the wrong person, okay? Or it may not work if you don't have the right relationship with that person. But find people in your life that you can do this with. And again, how it feels is you make an image of that person in your mind, and you know, a precursor, you're not going to violate their free will. Their high self has to let this through. And you create the image of that person and send them love. Send them unconditional love. Not emotional love, but the radiation of love. And if it's working, it comes back to you. And you can feel the energy when it comes back. And you feel a lifting of your own spirit. And if you can do that, you are operating in 4D. You know, those of us that have read about 4D, and you think 4D is something far away, and you know, you have to wait for a new planet or a new something or to graduate. You don't have to wait. You can do it right now, and you can learn and practice. Find people. If you can't find anyone else that's in your life, try it with me or Carla or Terry or any one of us in the group that you can identify with, that you feel a connection with, and let that energy go and practice 4D. When we do this call, we combine our spirits in our meditations. We are in 4D. That is 4D. You are experiencing it. So the more you experience it, the more you can apply it to your own life. And that's why the choices you're choosing to be here. You do not have to be here. We're all busy. We have lots of things to do. So it's the things you choose are not your karma. They are outside of your karma. They can become your karma if you choose the wrong things. But we all have our karmic obligations and our contractual stuff that we came in to do. We need to find things to choose that are above that, that pull you in to the higher dimensions. Because usually, not always, but usually all the karmic things don't do that. They keep you in 3D. And I should let Terry say something, because Terry is awesome. You know, when people talk on these lines, I'll tell you, you guys don't realize it, but when there's opportunities for to say something, or when we constantly read the prayer request, Terry takes it in, and she does spend time. If we had enough money, I think she'd just be praying for people all day, because she knows intrinsically the power of this. Terry, you want to share?
Okay, I just unmuted. It's when I realized, like, when you're concerned about somebody and you're thinking about somebody, it very often transmits to them. And you can have coincidences happen. Like, suddenly they'll call you. You'll be thinking of them, and it's almost as if you've reached a level of telecommunication, of telepathy, so that you can talk on some level, and you know if you're on the same page or not. And maybe if you're not on the same page, then you go over it over in your mind and try to think how you can get on the same page with them, and if they could only understand in some level, it translates to that other person. So when, as an individual, you may begin to try to see how they are feeling about it, how they're thinking about it, then something can release on a master level, on a main level, and all of a sudden that person is calling you on the phone, and all of a sudden there's breakthroughs in the relationship. That's
Thank
what I'm
you.
Thinking. Yeah.
I'm just reading emails, and Gigi in Vancouver sent me a song that they thought was great, and from Sergio Mendes, but I'll listen to it, and if I remember, I'll play it next week, okay? Thank you. Thanks, Gigi. I can't play something right now because I have to upload it. There's this whole process. And we have our hi-fi telephone system here. You know, it's kind of amazing that even though we have the worst hi-fi over the phone, that when spirit is present, it can still reach you. Okay, now see, I'm checking here my emails. CJ Hill.
Was really good. What Terry said was really good. That even if you're having some communication problems, there comes a point at which, you know, there is a breakthrough, and bam, you know, that person and you are on the same page, and you're going to communicate one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened in my
right.
life again and again.
And oftentimes when you do this with somebody, when you can hold this loving energy with somebody silently, and don't dare tell them you're doing it. At least, I won't say don't dare, but maybe don't jump up and down and tell them. It might scare them, and it might have been working. But over time, there is a change in the relationship. You know, if we talk about changing the world, and a lot of people are talking about changing the world, the one thing that will change the world is having a lot of humans sending loving energy, being broadcasters of love from their own being into the planet. That changes the world. That is becoming a co-creator with all that is. That is doing God's work. And that we are needed to do that. Everyone listening to listen to my voice right now has the ability to do that. And we are teaching by example on these calls how to do it. Okay? Because we're doing it. Like, we do it. We do it every Sunday call. You just say, let's just say, I love you silently. Do it right now. and we are creating love out of nothing. And you can do that in your sphere of influence. Don't try to create love by engaging with people. It doesn't mean you can't engage with people. It doesn't mean there can't be loving interactions. But the highest love is in 4D. And it doesn't need engagement. It's psychic. It's a psychic transmission back and forth. And you know what? I'm going to go into our meditations. And I'm going to give us time for a fairly long planetary healing. And because we've been cutting that short for the past couple of weeks because we talk so much. But the truth of the matter is, we haven't really been cutting it short. If you look at what we've been talking about during this call, we've been talking about the idea of radiating love into your environment, into the people in your life. Learning how to operate from 4D. And you know what? Many of you are getting it. Remember when you first came in these calls, you say, what's 4D? And you think it's somewhere else. It isn't somewhere else. It's here. It's now. And what is that noise? And when we start doing this, we say, you do it, it seems so easy, because it is easy. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be, am I going to make it? That is, if you can send love and receive love in now, guess what? You're in 4D. And if you're in 4D, you're graduating this realm. Okay? Now, some of you are out there and thinking, I don't feel it. Uh-oh. Okay. Let us all who are feeling it focus on those that are sitting there panicking, saying they're not in 4D. And let us think about those people that are listening right now, that are contracted, that have the world on their heads, because I know you're out there, and that are in an unloving relationship, and that have bad neighbors, and that they're not really bad neighbors, but neighbors that are oppressive, that judge you, and that are feeling alienated, and feeling broke, and feeling all those things that can be on top of your head. And all of us that are holding this loving energy, let's extend it to those people right now, quietly. We are always part of each other. We are always part of our planet. We are always part of our solar system. We are always part of the higher group souls. We are always part of all that is. In our contracted small bodies. But our spirits don't have to be contracted. Our bodies will always be contracted. Our bodies will always have their limitations. If you're lucky, you can go on a diet and make it a little skinnier. But other than that, I'm always going to have a big nose. And we're all going to have the limitations of our physical embodiment. but our spirits are not trapped. Our spirits that are occupying our bodies have unlimited reach, unlimited potential. These things I do, you can do also and much more. That's what Jesus said. What did he mean? He meant just that. That we are, the way you do great works like this is not because you're some exalted person that God has chosen and says, okay, you do great works. It's because you've learned how to tap into your love. And you've learned how to send it to other people in an unconditional way. And you are now co-creating with the universe. And you're needed. You know, God, if we use the word God, God works through you. You are the interface. You are the repeater station. You are all it is in your physical body, contracted into your physical body. And you have the ability to attract those things in your life that you need. And we do need things. It's okay to have needs. We need companionship. We need money. We need jobs. We need friends. Now, I'm not saying you can't get along without them. You can live in your car, and you don't have to be unhappy living in your car. I slept in my car. In fact, some of the best days of my life was when I had absolutely nothing. But I'm not suggesting that. But your needs can drive you to your next level. So let's just connect with Mother Earth. Mother Earth, below our feet, every one of us has the same Earth underneath us. Every one of us is in the field of Earth. We see that energy of Earth coming through, radiating from her center. And Earth is just like us, just a lot bigger, but she can feel our loves. We can feel her loves. That's why every time we do this, we feel the love of the Earth. We tell her, I love you. And we start this up coming through your feet, and you can feel the tingling in your feet. And up through your legs, and up through your thighs, and up through your solar plexus, and up through your chest, and up through your neck, and to the top of your head. So there's a finger of energy coming right through the Earth. And we are grounded to the Earth all the time. We can remind ourselves during the day, Earth, I love you. And if you feel that wave of energy come back, you know you made a connection. We go up through the top of our head, above our heads, into our room, We just spread our energy around through our entire room. This is blessing your room. This is making your room sacred. If you keep doing that, you practice doing that, the room will hold the space. So when you walk into it, if you're a little depressed, the room will have the energy and lift you. That's what they do in sacred places. That's what they do in holy places. They create that energy in the space, so the space will hold the energy. And then we go through our ceiling and up into the sky. And we keep moving up, up and away through the clouds. And we're not astral traveling. We are expanding our energy from the center of our being into the sky. Did you ever stand on a mountaintop and look at the panorama and have your breath get taken away? You know that feeling where you become breathless and you look at a beautiful view from the top of a mountain, from a high vantage point, or from a building even? That's because when you're in that vantage point, your energy is expanding into all that space. And you can feel it. That's why people pay so much money to have houses with views or offices that look down on things. We played that song, Up on the Roof, a few weeks ago by Carole King. Same idea. You know, if you're depressed, a really good thing is to go drive somewhere where you can look at a panorama and it will lift you out of your depression every time. We're going through the clouds. We're going through the galaxies, through the solar systems. We're going through time, through our past lives. We're going back to where we were just created, where we were just individuated out of the one spirit energy field. And we touch each other. And as we touch, we can feel the connection. We can feel the blending. Since there's no time, all of this exists all the time. Every moment, you can access this. And you can practice. You can practice going into these meditations, listening to our Sunday grid healings, listening to the audios, which are up on the archive section, sending love to people you care about. And we create a group energy. By free will choice, we create a group energy. Because in this moment of creating a group energy, we become very powerful. And because we can operate as a team. And the reason group souls are group souls is because they have more power as a group than as individual souls. So, that is why we can have group energy and do a planetary healing. Because we may not be powerful enough, by ourselves. But as a group, we are really powerful. We're not glum together. This is like a temporary coming together. It's like going out to dinner with your family. You're all going to go home separately. You all have your own lives, but you get together. Just the family has fun having dinner together. As long as it's not me at Thanksgiving. As we invite those positive sources in the universe to join with us. Those sources that are service to others. They said to us, there's the Ra group, the Elohim group, and there's lots of others. Those are the biggest, probably the most powerful. And we have them join us, join our group energy. And now it's really a big group energy. It's all of us listening to this call and them. And now we have this group energy. This group energy responds to intention. So we have group intention right now. And with this energy, first of all, we'll take a moment of silence, and each of you can put into this field a person, a situation, a challenge that you would like to see shift. And just think it as a thought and drop it into this pool of energy that we're creating and let it go. So, do you need what in your life? What is missing? Do you need better health? You're working on a health issue. Let this energy of this group energy move through your body. Make your body transparent, so it just moves through it. On a cellular level, just ask it to fix, balance, help, anything out of balance. Someone you care about have this. Let's ask it for them. And we have some of the people that put things on the healing list. We have Pat in Alabama, keeping her older daughter in the light, and also her mother, who suffers daily from back pain. And we have Debbie in South Bloomberg, New York, South Blooming, New York. Please send your highest healing energy, love, light, and protection to all of the beings on the planet who are being affected by the changes that are taking place on the planet at this time. And Debbie sends another one, and it is sending healing energy to her daughter, Possum. And then Jeffrey in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His dog and companion of 13 years passed on. I wish him to be comforted in the light, wherever he may be. I saw the relationship between you and your dog, and it just brought a tear to my eye. Thank you. Thank you, dog. We have here Marsha in Panorama City. Any and all assistance, divine intervention, help, miracle, synchronicities. Please help me with the people that she experiences are horrifically attacking her, beaten up from energies of neighbors, doing all they can to drive me out of my home by bullying, blasting horrible rap and other, surrounding me with hatred, lying to police, attacking me physically. Let us just send love, light, energy to Marsha's house for protection and wipe out any negative thoughts for the highest good of all concerned from our neighbors towards her. And she sends a light to Jim Cole and Dan West, who have been two people who have an alternative health company that are having lots of trouble with the FDA. We ask for help and support. And then we have Lori in Tombstone. Just for balance with the government, to his disability check. And everyone in the world, wake up to chemtrails, GMOs in our food, and the way USA is being run, and put the Constitution and people's rights in the light. Then we have Anna. Hi, Anna. Her heart's beating too fast. Needs to calm down. It's making her tired. Let's just send loving, peaceful energy to Anna's heart right now. Barbara in Twin Falls. I put the light for perfect healing and wholeness, all negativity and disease in myself and my loved ones. I forgive those who have ever wronged me and ask forgiveness from all whom I have ever hurt in any way. Peace begins with me, and we bless Mother Earth with perfect peace. In and on our beautiful planet, I am grateful for these blessings of love and joy and peace and light now. Thank you, Barbara. I'm Melinda in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We call forth grace to ascend upon Mother Earth to dissolve all negative matrices and energies anchored within our planet and within all humanity. We call upon all the higher sources to assist grace in transmuting these negative forces to the highest good of all concerns. And just keep in mind, we have asked this question, Belinda, that a lot of these negative forces have free will. And the more of us that tune into be our own radiators of love in our lives, the more we can transmute that. But we can't violate the free will of the negative. One time I asked a question, I said, why don't we just kill all the negative? Why don't you guys just do that? And they said, well, if they did that, they just come, it doesn't kill their energies. They'll just come back in some future epic and do the same thing. So we have to convert them. And Zoe in Sacramento, heal my cracked tooth. Love life for Bob Gibson's girls, whose mother has just passed over. Love life to take charge of the publishing and distribution of the writing. I'm beginning to publish online for the highest good. Thank you. Blessings to all. And Les, Tigris, and Rimrock. Protection and healing for the entire world for damage that has already been done. Chemtrails and electromagnetic and other energetic being used to do weather magnification. And that's all I'm going to do of those. So thank you all. And we'll just take another moment of doing anything silently, putting it into this field.
And then some love light to Carla, her friend.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And the lady with pneumonia, right? Who had pneumonia?
I think it was Carolyn. Not sure.
Carolyn. Okay. Let's send special love light to Carolyn for healing of her pneumonia. And we've had this work with someone in the past, but left the same day, so I hope that happens for you. And just add in anyone, anything,
when?
Yourself. Yeah.
This is Mary.
Yes.
It was Zoe in Sacramento that has pneumonia.
Who in Sacramento?
Zoe.
Zoe, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Carolyn, and I have pneumonia, and I'm in Sacramento.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Is that Carolyn from Uganda?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for clarifying.
Because the doctor wouldn't allow me to fly. I have double pneumonia.
Okay.
So, thank you very much for sending me the light for healing.
All right. So, let's just do a quick calling in of the light and turn it over to our sources through Terry for their message of the day. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect us all. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we have the ability to focus. We can do like a broad focus, like a camera lens that takes in a broad skin, or we can focus down to a narrow focus. And we realize that in the focusing, we are focusing life within the all that is, the one being of all that is, the intelligence that is there with you and that you are with, and that is an overlay. You are connected. You are a part of, an integral part of, so that when a thought goes down, it is projected. You are not alone. And the being, the one being of all that is, gets it and is right with you. And if you understood the language, if you understood the signals, you would receive the information that the one being has gotten. It is immediate. There is no delay. That one being is right with you. So that when you and another person are in thought processes together and are telepathically thinking about each of your own positions in something, the all that is, the being, is getting everything from both sides, is seeing it, and is a vehicle for which thought can be given immediately. It is not bounded by the speed of light or your location. And that one being is there, and you are a part of the one, and you are cared for, and you are as a child of the one being. There is a whole realm that is available to you when you can see beyond your own veil, your own mechanisms of focusing of your own life energy. That takes up a lot of your energy and a lot of your attention. The one being is there, is loving, is intelligent, is getting it. We are a part. The Elohim, the Ra group, we are a part of all that is. We are a part. We are a focusing. We have focusing ability and the ability to set up focusing mechanisms to direct thought, to help create consciousness. We take a moment and we take a look at all the things that you have put into the healing list, each and every one of you, and the ones that have not put anything but have thought it. You're thinking of it. You're writing it down. The intention for the best of all that is for possible. It comes through loud and clear. And then it is up to person to partake of that, what she wishes and what she can receive and accept. For each and every one of you, you have placed a prayer written on the skin of time on the universe. And this is not ignored. This is there as a building block, as a construction, as something that can be grasped by those that are open to grasp it. And as you reach out, this construction of thought mechanism helps build your world and helps make more possible to you. We are with you in love and light, and we leave, but we do not leave.
Thank you. And let's move right now to our planetary visualization. And you know, it's exactly the same way as the personal things that we want, things we want in our life. But we are acting as a group energy. Those of you that would choose to, in this moment, let your energies conglomerate, which we've already done, and putting intentions into this field, understanding that we can't violate free will. And that we are going to see our energy surround planet Earth, surround it in the most beautiful of light energy. See it glowing with light. We know within our surrounding of energy, there's what we call dark, and has the free will to be dark. We can't change it. We can only hope to inspire it. And we can surround all those areas of dark and ask that there's more opportunity for the dark to connect to the light, that they could, of their own free will, reach for that. We also descend upon all those people on our planet who are service to others, who have seeds of divinity in them, who have the capability of being co-creators and are reaching for that, don't know how to do it, and feel separated and isolated. And we just send our energies. We bring this energy surrounding them all to give them opportunities to reach, to connect. And we support all those groups that are connecting right now. All those groups, some of them are spiritual, some of them are environmental, some of them are trying to create new ways of having community, new ways of connecting with each other, new ways of taking care of each other, new forms of energy. And we bless them all with the synchronicities, the opportunities, the support to manifest on the uplifting energies that could transform our planet. You know, we have two options. We'll either transform the planet, or we'll bring people to graduation, to a higher realm, that will not have to come back into this density, into these kinds of challenges that this density creates. You know, one of the things that was in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce was the idea that the difficulties that would befall our planet, the difficulties would give more people the opportunity to graduate because they would have to turn towards each other because the control structures would not be able to create the sustenance that we've had in the past. The abundance, the money. And as people become more in need, the best case scenario is that they reach for each other to help each other. They're forced to out of survival. And the reaching and helping creates an opening of the heart. And the opening of the heart gives them the opportunity to graduate. And whatever we're going through, this is one epic of many lifetimes that we've all had. And there are other planets, other futures. They're being created right now by us, by our thoughts, by our love, by our care. Because we are the co-creators of the future. We're not victims. We're creators. And we see, let's focus on the Ring of Fire, that landmass that surrounds the Pacific Ocean. This is earthquakes. That's the highest earthquake potential on our planet. And we go from South America, we travel up the coast, the west coast of South America, and we visualize our light energy projecting through the crust of the earth into those areas where there's tectonic faults. We surround them with love light, and we see and ask for any earthquakes to be minimized in small doses to release the pressures of the earth and away from population centers for the highest good. We start out and go up the coast of South America and visualize a map and up through Chile. I don't know all the countries, but we can see the map. And up through Central America, same thing. Up through Mexico, the West Coast, up through Baja California, into California, into Chula Vista, San Diego, of course, Los Angeles. If you are in one of these areas, see that energy flowing through your body and into the earth and ask earth for her support to protect your area. And we go up through Los Angeles, which has all kinds of earthquake faults, and we see L.A. and all the L.A. environs protected. We go up to Malibu, Ventura, Santa Barbara, up the coastline to San Francisco, another place with all kinds of faults. We see all those surrounding areas of San Francisco, the environs. And we send loving energy right through the ground into the earth and up through Sausalito, and up coast of California to Oregon, to Portland, to Washington, to Seattle. Of course, there's two mountains in those areas, which could be volcano prone. So one is Mount Hood in Oregon. The other is Mount Rainier in Washington. We send our energy to them as well for balance and restraint. And up to Vancouver, British Columbia. I know we have people in Vancouver. If you're listening, just see that energy flow through you into the earth, up to the coast of Canada, the western coast, across to the southern coast of Alaska, down through the eastern coast of Russia, and China, and Hong Kong, and Taiwan, and Singapore. And Indonesia and Japan. And we work with the reactor there that's putting out radiation. Surround that with a blanket of love light and ask that any of this radiation can be contained or deactivated for the highest good. We go to the Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, and then Hawaii. And let's just back off, zoom out like you had a camera. We see the whole area and just see this huge light from heaven coming down around all these land masses around the Pacific Ocean. And we jump to the Mid-Atlantic Fault, centered in St. Louis. We do the same thing, not the Mid-Atlantic, the New Madrid Fault, centered in St. Louis. We do the same thing, and we do the Mid-Atlantic Fault and do the same thing. Huge beam of love light coming out of the heavens, going into the earth. And then we surround our planet and do the same thing for our entire planet. Anywhere there's an earthquake fault, potential for a tsunami, we ask for it to be mitigated. Any place that needs water, where there's drought, where we need crops, we ask for rain. We ask for interventions in those areas of weather control that's used for the negative. We ask for interventions in terms of frequencies in the air that are detrimental to humans, that they've been counteracted by frequencies so that they don't work. We ask for any nuclear weapons to be disabled, that no nuclear weapons be allowed to go off on this planet for the highest good of all concerned. And we ask for the quality of peace. Hold the energy of peace, of brotherhood, of fellowship, and we come back to our own selves and radiate this energy into our environment, into our home, into our families, into our friends, into our communities. We are the ones holding the space for the future, for the others. We are the retransmitters of the energy of the higher realms. We are the representatives of the higher realms in this realm.